Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It is Dom time. Chuck in Hatboro, we liked your list. Chuck, you're the winner. We'll be sending you that copy of Bill O'Reilly's number one bestseller, Killing the SS. We're killing bottles of wine here, so to speak, today, but it's an annual tradition. I'm so I don't know how many years we've done this now.
It's 5 years.
5 years? Yeah. And I appreciate it because it's one of their busiest days of the year. Gary Brady and Mark Rosato from Canals Liquor in South Jersey. What's the location, Gary, of the store?
It's 5360 Route 38 in Pennsauken in New Jersey.
Inches over the bridge.
Inches.
Yeah, exactly right. So have you seen, has any of that changed because, I don't know, gas prices or something else where people go to Jersey because the cheapness of it, you know, the ability to get great stuff and get it at a moderate price?
You know, Pennsylvania's done some things like they open on Sundays, but it hasn't really affected us at all. And we don't know what clientele comes from Pennsylvania or Philadelphia. We don't track it. We don't know. A lot of people are visiting people in New Jersey or going to the shore. So,
better in the summertime. That's a stop. You're very crowded on Friday nights. Headed to the shore.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, with weekends and things like that. And people, like I said, people are visiting other people, so we don't have a tracking of our clientele, where they come from.
And is wine the main thing that you sell? Would you say is that the most, or what is?
You know, it's almost equal parts anymore. You really have, over the last 5 years, you've seen this unbelievable gravitation towards bourbons, whiskeys, scotches.
Why is that? What's happened?
You know, I don't know. Years ago, I remember Jack Canale and I having a conversation about, like, who's going to drink the whiskey, because everybody was getting older and they were drinking VO and Canadian Club and, you know, and then eventually those people would pass. And it just seems this generation.
Prematurely.
They drink enough of it in between. Yeah. But over the last few years, where wine used to be allocated, we used to do things like Silver Oak, Joseph Phelps Insignia, Chateau Petrus, which is a French Bordeaux. And, you know, everybody had to have it. And some folks still do, the wine collectors. But the bourbon, whiskey, and scotch has really taken off to a point where we have a club card program where any of your listeners, if they come in the store, make sure you sign up for the club card. Not only do you get better prices and discounts, but you get emails with things that are very allocated. So with that said, like right now, we have a wine on there for it's Sasakaya, 2015 Sasakaya, and it's the number one wine of the year. We only got six bottles, and we give people the opportunity to buy it online, like through their phone, without actually being in the store, which is phenomenal. They have to come in the store to pick it up. But we've had things like we have had some bourbons where Johnny Canale, our buyer, he manages a webpage and he puts an email out. And I'm not kidding, Dom. It's unbelievable that we'll put out bourbons between $100 and $300 a bottle, and it will be gone in 10 minutes. Just allocated per one bottle per person, and boom, 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 and so that's changed a lot in our industry. But it's pretty. I mean, we have such a diverse clientele that you know, it's a harder store to manage, but we have everything. So I can't say that there's one category that overwhelms, you know, other products. So.
What's your best recommendation? Then we ask Mark Rosato, who's your wine guy that comes every time with us and does just great stuff. And it's just made to do talk radio. Both of you, I've said over the years how much I enjoy this. What's the best recommendation for Thanksgiving dinner?
I'm going to give that to Mark.
Mark, what would you say?
Typically, if you're going textbook, Dom, you'd probably do like a Gewürztraminer, which is a type of grape that adds a lot of spice. Because Thanksgiving, it runs the gamut. You got everything from the turkey. You're going all the way to cranberry stuffing. So you can't really pinpoint the stuff that's going on. So that would be the typical pairing. And over the years, I found like Cru Beaujolais are good, something fruit forward but dry on the end for your like Cabernet drinkers and people who want like bigger, heavier reds. And I noticed people for Thanksgiving, they're going someplace, they tend to spend a little more. Because that's the only thing they're
bringing. What's the definition of a moderate leaper? You brought a little bit more high-end today.
A little bit.
To me, a moderate is $20. Is that about right?
Yeah. So I guess what I brought today, it's not a super high-end. It's $20. Okay. But it's 15 to 20 comparing, seeing where you spent.
Okay. Then you can get a reasonably good wine for that. You don't have to be a wine snob and spend $100 to get a decent bottle of wine.
No, that's usually where the decent bottle of wines tend to start, like $15
to $20. What distinguishes that high end, say $100 or whatever? What's the difference?
Well, the thing is like if you're just buying your fruit from a farmer. Right. So, you know, you're sourcing your fruit from all different farms. So the quality, the sugars, the levels, all the chemistry, and it changes. So a better bottle is more estate driven, where they all come from like the same vineyard, somebody's backyard. There's more time in oak barrels, which oak barrels are super expensive. You can only really use them twice before they're sold off to like rum or bourbon, you know, houses.
Can only use them twice?
Yeah, you can only use them twice. That's typically what they do, twice.
Wow.
On a barrel. So barrels, they go for like $2,000. So, you know, when you're holding on to a product for a year and you're picking these fruit by hands and clipping it, you know, it's more labor intensive, more care is going. A lot of these wineries now are like, there's chemistry labs in them. You know, they're testing for fruit. They're picking like at the optimal time to try to see the outcome beforehand, where I think like later it was more done, like earlier on, it was more done just by like, you know, tradition and methods and by your eye, like what you see and how you taste it.
So we know about Napa Valley, Gary, but South Jersey, we started to see at the shore and all. We've done stuff down there.
Yeah.
They're trying. Jersey's trying, right?
They are. Yeah. Like, you know, the Chemung Reds become really popular.
I love that name, the Chemung.
Yeah,
the Chemung. I didn't know the Chemung Reds.
Yeah.
Bill, write that down. That's good show material. Yeah, the Chemung, yes.
Yeah, and the Tomasello. I mean, there's some good little wineries. Unfortunately, I mean, you can't, there's certain grapes you can't grow in our climate. You know, you want a thinner skin grape, which there's some people that call that a liberal grape, but that's not coming from me.
I said it.
There's certain grapes that they just won't make it here. Our winters are too cold. Our nights are too cold. So, but you see a lot of sweet wine. You see a lot of fun wine.
Sweet wine. My wife, our going project.
I was going to say, I don't know if we talked about it last year, but like that, the Jersey red wines, the Chemung red, like we said, and they make a variety of them. And then also you have, there's a German sweet red wine called Dornfelder.
Dornfelder,
yeah.
Is that available all over the place?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we carry a Windisch Dornfelder. People love it. Universal appeal. You know, and it's a little more natural than like the old Riuniti Lambrusco that they throw sugar in to make it sweet. It's a little bit more the fruit of the grape.
They're like about half the alcohol percentage too as like normal wine, because when you're fermenting, you know, the chemistry is sugar eats yeast and it presents. So you got to kind of pull it a little earlier to keep some of them residual sugars. Plus, we're flat here in New Jersey, so we retain a lot of water. We make a bigger berry, you know, and we get really hot summers, so that fruit ripens really quickly. So as the sugar levels go up to keep it sweet, you got to kind of add the correct amount of yeast so all the sugars don't ferment into alcohol.
I've never asked you guys, though, too, when you started out, did you have this knowledge base? I mean, that you had this interest in wine?
No, like you fall into it, and then you start doing it. But like I like travel and culture, so it's easy for me to kind of get
involved. It's amazing to me each time we have it here. You guys are not just selling this.
Well, you know what's funny too is we both graduated from high school. We're both Penn Salkin guys. We both have known the Canal family since we were little children. So the first Canals was in walking distance. It was around the block from my house, and knew the family. And then I think just being hardworking guys and guys that pay attention and care about things, anything you do 100%. Mm-hmm. So I think as we got into this business, we want to know everything about it. And we work hard and we pay attention and we're here today on Dom DiGiannis.
Yeah, it's a perfect blend of knowledge without the snobbery.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I like, that too much of it's knowledgeable, but they're snobs.
You know, it's funny, Dom, you were saying about like really expensive wine. There's a wine called Romani Conti, and it's about 5 acres. And, you know, we have a few customers that buy wines like that, and they make a few three packs a year. It's like $3,000 a bottle. And one of our customers, I won't mention his name, great guy, keeps it simple, but $3,000 a bottle. He's like, that's not $2,900 better than the $100 bottle.
No, that's what I was going to say.
But
I
it's mean, like it's, a limit, it's right. supply and demand. It's like the vehicle, the Maybach. It's not worth $500,000, but they only made so many, and people with money will want it. So I mean, that goes a little bit. Supply and demand goes into the price of some of those wines.
Are you seeing guys, Mark and Gary, come talk to people that have wine cellars now? Is that something that's affordable that they do their own wine?
Tons of people. You know, some of these guys have more bottles in their cellar than we have in the store.
Yeah, I don't want to, only because I'm so much older than Mark, but I don't want to check, but we've been doing that for years. Like, we have people that build homes, and they build a wine cellar within it, and they'll come to us and say, can you fill our cellar?
Ah, definitely.
And one of the things you want to do is you have to break it up between, they want to do French Bordeaux, they want to do Italian Brunello Montalcinos, they want to do high-end California wines, but they also want everyday drinking wine. You know, you have to have that Tuesday night wine, you know, that you're just going to have dinner and watch a little bit
of
TV.
So let me ask you guys, how many days a week do you drink wine?
I'm going to be honest, I only really drink wine with dinner. My wife, she's drinking red wine, all the red wine in the house. But like for me, like since like my taste started to exceed my budget, like I can only kind of do it.
But every day
here and there. Yeah. So it's every other day.
Gary, how about you?
I can't keep track.
All right. Let me give you the phone lines. 855-839-1210. If you have a question about wine, holidays, bourbons and other drinks. So, Mark, what have you brought today?
Okay, well, this year we wanted to do stuff a little bit different. So, you know what I mean? So I set it up like this. So we got this Nicholas Fouliot Brut. Do you remember the price on this guy?
$3,601.
Okay, so this is something that I think is really nice. It's a champagne from Champagne, France. The grapes are Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier. They do the blend. And you serve this like in the beginning, I would say. Like you're getting your hors d'oeuvres. Everybody's coming in. You're taking the coach.
Okay.
You
know what I mean?
Try one of my
$36 bottle of wine here. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Try one of my saltines and have a glass of champagne. And you sit down. But I'll show you.
Okay. Now, I'm not a big champagne guy. Wine, yes, the champagne. What's the difference with champagne and wine? What's the difference of the grape or what is it?
Well, they're wine grapes. It's just the way it's made. Like, you know, they're bottle conditioned. So the bubbles happen in the bottle. Everything happens in the cellar. Like, I actually got to visit a champagne cellar in Spain to see actually how it's made, you know. So they, you know, they're turning these bottles every 6 months. It's very tedious, very carefully made. You know, these people take great pride in their work and what they do. So it's just basically Chardonnay grapes. Right?
Okay.
Pulled from the best region, which is Champagne, Pinot Noir, which is a red grape, but the flesh of most of these grapes is white. You know, there's only one called Alicante Boucher where the flesh of the grape and the skin is both red. You know, it's the only grape out there. But so that's why you're saying Pinot Noir, but it's not, you know, because there's no skin contact, which would give it its color, and Pinot Meunier as well. So they blend these three grapes. It's been tradition. You know, there's strict laws in France. It has to be done a certain way to be called champagne. It has to be done from champagne, not to be confused with everything else. It's sparkling wine.
Okay.
But,
right.
All right. So clue me in. I am negative toward white wines. Part of the talk radio shtick, it seems kind of wimpy or something, I guess. And red wines is about all I drink. What am I missing?
Well, I mean, it just goes with pairing. I always say drink what you like anyway.
Right.
You know, who cares? You're having a salad, drink a red.
Yeah, I have no taste for white wine or no reason to go to it. There's enough red wine to explore.
Next time I'll bring a French Burgundy and we'll change your mind.
Okay.
There's some really good stuff out there.
Are you guys drinking across the line or is it red wines mainly?
It's like I usually pair with what I'm eating. You know,
because
I only do wine with food at this point. It's not like a cocktail
and
for
me. And it's white wine with seafood and things related to that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, it's nice. I think Mark does the same thing with his wife. I let my wife drink a lot of wine. And because she gives an unbiased opinion.
Right.
She doesn't know the price.
Right.
And she's just, so for us, you know, it's almost like a chef. Like, what's appealing to your palate isn't the end all. You really have to find out what other people are going to like and what they're... I mean, like New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs have become popular. I don't know if I'm a big fan, but...
I've had some of that stuff, too, only once.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge...
But it is. It's like food. It's like music. It's like anything else. Like, what's appealing to your palate, you know? And I think that's what our goal is, a price point.
Well, I have this on my list when I come over and see you guys soon, the German Dorenfelder. We're going to try that out. This is the Roe experiment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And at the Feast of the Seven Fishes, we'll see if she toasts with that or what we do.
I mean, Mark's rolling his eyes. He thinks there's some other things. That, I'm just thinking
When I come in, I'll get the sweetest. We'll bring her. We'll do a wine. But I have a winemaker in South Philly. Frank is making the wine in South Philly today. You're with Gary and Mark.
Awesome.
Hey, Frank.
Frank.
Welcome in.
Hey,
Frank.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Frank,
good.
Hey. Good, Frank. How you doing?
My family's been making wine in the cellar and over in Italy. I was born in Italy. My dad brought us over in 1958. Okay. And he did a few with my nephew, the whole family, you know, and a few friends. I got four barrels down in my basement.
Nice.
Hey, is there any grape stomping going on there, Frank?
Yeah, I prefer the Pinot Grigio white, which I make basically for myself because everybody likes the red wine, but I prefer the white wine.
Gotcha.
And that means more for me.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Yep. I make the Pinot Grigio white, and also I make we make the red wine. Everybody else makes, you know, I make a barrel a piece.
Gotcha.
And I did try the out in Cape May. There's wineries out there. I went out there with my brother-in-law. And fantastic out there. They grow it out there. They turn around and you do the process out there. And and the American oak is about the best barrels that you can turn around and use. And some of them use the French oak also.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's the alcohol in your wine, Frank?
We don't put no alcohol at all. We just process it. We either get the grapes or the juice, mm-hmm. and we turn around and put it in a big tub, 80-gallon tub, and then we let it ferment for about 7 to 10 days.
Nice.
Now the way we do it, some people might turn around after 6 months, 3 months, they might turn around and bottle it, but we don't do that. We wait 1 year before we bottle it, and then within that 1 year we filter it three times.
Where do you get your grapes from, Frank?
Am I allowed to say it?
Yeah, go ahead, Frank. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know.
Picacci down here in South Philadelphia, and then there's another place up in Hamilton, I think it is. It's Pinto Brothers up there.
Yeah, and they're getting them from California, right?
California, Italy.
Oh, okay.
California, Italy. They bring in some Chilean wine, you know. And Dom, may I turn around, refreshing your mind a little bit, Dom?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Dom, we met for the first time in person out there in front of the Frank Rizzo statue. I'm the guy that I couldn't serve you with wine out there, but I did serve everybody with water out there.
Well, I remember that, Frank. Thank you for that. It was a really hot day, and have a great Thanksgiving. What else did you bring today, Mark?
Okay, well, I always bring an Italian wine because, you know, I'm doing the Italian Thanksgiving. So I figured when Grandma's bringing out the Manigault, you know what I mean, and she's got both of her thumbs in it, you're going to want to drink. You know, she gets that in there sometimes, bring it out, she shake it a little bit, but you let her do it. So this is a Rosa di Montalcino. Oops, I spilled something.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So this wine, I would say, like, you know, for the Italians, you want something a little bit drier with that pasta that you're having in the beginning. Maybe the champagne you could take to the Scottole soup and all that. But, like, this is what you're going to do with your Manigault right here. It's a bit drier, a bit earthier.
It is.
And this is the Il Paggione.
And this is more my taste.
Yeah, this is 100% Sangiovese grapes.
Roe would never even touch this. This is definitely my taste.
It's a good way to approach, like, a Brunello di Montalcino at a fair price. Now, I've seen this bottle. It's called Il Paggione Rosa di Montalcino 2015, 91 points from the Wine Spectator. So if you look it up anywhere else, they're going to try to whack you in the head for $26, $25.
Right.
Our price is $24. But if you come and you join the club, because why wouldn't you, at the original Canals Pen Salkin on Route 38, you're going to get it for $22.99 because we're busting prices all over the state.
Well, that was pretty good. Yeah. All right, we have the finale now. What's the third?
All right, now, this is for when you bust out your bird right here. This is called Wild Things Infidel.
Appropriately called Wild Things.
Yeah. Wild Things Zinfandel.
Not to confuse with anything else wild or the Wild Thing, but this is Wild Things Zinfandel. This is good for the turkey throughout the meal because it's real fruity up front. But you're going to get that note of cigar and spice in the back, which is going to kind of handle the whole meal.
You mentioned that, and it's initial. The very initial taste is sweet.
Yeah,
but then after that it goes away pretty quickly.
So they burst you with that fruit. From the bird to the cranberry, this is the wine you're going to want on your table.
This is a rare wine. I don't remember a wine that changes taste.
Yeah, I mean, you see, that's a good wine.
Right.
See, now, you see, when you're having a good wine, their flavors, a good winemaker will spread them throughout.
And it aerates a little bit. Oxygen hits a little bit. It softens up a little bit.
Takes you on a ride.
Yep. I must have not had a very good wine because I've never tasted a wine that quickly where there's a different taste Yeah. Throughout.
And you know what? Just a little observation, Dom. You said sweet, and Mark said fruit, because it is fruit.
Okay.
It is the fruit of the grape. But, you know, a lot of people forget it's agriculture. You know, it's farming. It's grapes.
Right.
So he's right in pointing out that fruit. That's a nice.
This is a real. What was the wine again?
It's Wild Things Inn, and once again we're busting prices all over the state. Everybody wants to whack you for 20. Not a Canals Pennsauken.
Female winemaker, right, Mark?
Yeah, female winer. One of the first female winemakers from UC Davis. Not these days. But this woman, you know, she's been in it for a long time. She has a top 100 wine out this year. She's doing great stuff. You know, I think you got to get on a waiting list for a Pinot Noir. Yeah. It's like, she's doing really nice stuff. And this is perfect, like, for that Thanksgiving dinner. And everybody, instead of recommending the typical, like, oh, keep it light because you're doing foul, you know, like Pinot Noir, then some guys are like, I drink Cabernet. But this is a good way to pair it and get around.
I like this out of anything you brought.
Definitely. For sure. Okay. So, like, everything has its place. You know what I mean? Like, that's why, that's the fun of it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are tremendous. Thank you for coming in, and we got to do this before Christmas again, so we have another shot at getting wines here. Where do we find you again? Where's Canals?
It's 5360 Route 38 in Pennsauken, New Jersey. And online is canalsliquors.com.
Very good.
And
Gary,
come in, if you're a listener and you come into the store, make sure you sign up for the club card, because that's where you're going to get those emails that you're going to want to see.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having
us,
Dom.
We'll be over there to see you.
Thanks, Dom.
Talking.
Hanley family tradition here on the Dom Giordano program. Your call's coming up on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.